This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Carmen Wong-Ulrich. So many of us were taught our first financial lessons at home, from our families. But now, 39 states have financial curriculum standards in their schools. Now, that means there's a new teacher in town. And we even have an official Financial Literacy Month. And I think we can all agree that we need to know more about how to manage our money, or you wouldn't be listening to me, and I wouldn't have this career. But there's a lot of debate on just how much value there is in actual financial education. And we like to hear on this show all sides of the story. So we have a segment devoted to these discussions. This is Financial Feud. The topic of our feud today, financial literacy. Joining us is Helene Olin and Dan Kadlik. Helene is a Reuters contributor and author of Pound Foolish, Exposing the Dark Side of the Personal Finance Industry. Welcome, Helene.
Thank you.
And Dan is a longtime contributor to Time magazine, and his latest book is A New Purpose, Redefining Money, Family, Work, Retirement, and Success. Hello, Dan.
Happy to be here.
Helene, you don't mince any words when it comes to this topic at all. In a blog that you wrote, I'm going to quote you here, financial literacy is a bunch of hooey.
I always say coming out against financial literacy felt like coming out against apple pie. What on earth could be wrong with learning about your finances, right? But in fact, what I discovered when I looked at it very carefully, that financial literacy had simply become a very personal way of attempting to solve what is essentially an economic and political problem, which is that the financial marketplace has become extremely complicated in the past 30, 40 years. And at the same time, our ability to keep up financially has fallen behind with income stagnation, income inequality. It's a recipe for disaster.
So, Dan, what about that, the knowledge level? Because there is so much that we have to know, and it does seem like we have to get so sophisticated. What is that relationship between the knowledge and decision-making that we make with our money?
It's a difficult subject, and it's difficult to learn, and it's difficult to translate knowledge into behavior change. It's a fairly new effort. Financial literacy, the term itself, is only 20 years old. Financial education, the thought of it in schools, is probably only 10 years old, and it never really caught wind until the recession. We need to teach kids from K through 12 in a systematic way, like math or English.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned the recession, that this became popular. You know, there's a lot of financial product out there that a lot of people just didn't understand. So for you, financial literacy is something that can help folks understand the industry and the products.
Yes, but financial literacy isn't how to buy a super beta fund. You know, financial literacy is defining wants versus needs and income versus expenses.
Helene, is there anyone doing it right?
I think these efforts are helpful, but I think they miss the bigger point. And the bigger point is this. We've been thrown out there really almost defenseless. And we're being told you can master all of this. And some people can, but many can't. And many can't because of things that are not their fault. To me, discussing financial literacy without discussing the financial structure around us is like taking a house that has been damaged in an earthquake, not looking at the foundation and putting a new hardwood floor in and thinking it's all going to be okay. We really need to look at the structure of our financial world and ask why so many people are so defenseless.
Well, that's why I think we need to get something that is vetted and is in the schools. You know, an interesting point to me is we teach kids literature, but we don't expect them to be great writers. We teach them math, but we don't expect them all to be engineers. People can do with this knowledge what they want, but we have to build a base and give them that information. I don't understand why we need this high bar for financial literacy. Why do we need proof positive that it's going to lead to behavior change? That doesn't exist in any other sphere. And yet we have this whole different mindset on financial literacy, which doesn't make any sense to me.
We have this idea, those of us who like financial stuff, that if we should just expose other people to it, they'll understand it to some extent. It's sort of like being a trade aficionado and starting to talk about trades and then expecting people to just enjoy your love of trades. It doesn't really practically work. Some people will pick up on it, but a lot won't. So it's simply not a full-on solution. The other point is that a lot of financial literacy has been used post the recession. There is a reason it has come up so much post the 2008 crash. It's because it has been used by the financial sector to say, hey, wait a minute. it wasn't really our fault. What were you doing signing that mortgage for the house you couldn't afford? What were you doing taking out an adjustable rate mortgage? Why were you living beyond your means? You really should have thought about the fact you might lose your job.
You should have read that contract right. that I gave you to sign. And I equate it to like the doctor-patient relationship, right? Is that if you're with a bank on the other side of the table, you know, and a doctor says, here's your prescription, take that and fill that out. The same thing happened a lot in the housing, you know, crisis. Right. There are folks said, here's the mortgage you can afford, and people signed. So there is this lack of balance of information and knowledge. Dan, what do you think that we can do, not just when it comes to the schools, when it comes to adults, when it comes to just getting some of this out? Because you really believe that information can give people more tools to make better decisions.
Right. But I think it's a long-term solution. In the near term, we can erect safeguards, and the CFPB is doing some of that. But long term, I think people need to be able to fend for themselves. You know, this notion of just-in-time education, it sounds nice, but it's really more problematic than teaching financial education. The time to learn about mortgages isn't when you're sitting down to sign the document. That would be just in time. The time is when you start thinking about buying a house so that you know what houses you should even be looking at. What does just-in-time education mean in the context of retirement savings? When you're 65, you're going to tell me about it? No, you need to start saving at 18 and never stop. And that's kind of where people who don't want to teach it in school want to move to this sort of big brother approach, which I think can be helpful, but isn't the answer. So the long-term solution, starting in kindergarten, make it mandatory through 12th grade, teach it either as part of other courses or as a standalone course, but teach it every year and build year after year as you do with any other subject.
Dan, you mentioned a really good point. Constantly people come to me and say, I just don't know where to go. And it's funny because then I'm going to say, okay, well, besides our books, where do you go for trusted information, especially different ages too? Because we're not just talking about school age kids. We're talking all the way to adults and beyond.
The easy answer to that is there is this website, mymoney.gov. It's built by Treasury and it's got a lot of information. So there's a start.
Helene, what about you? Somebody comes up to you and just says, where do I go?
I beg people to get old-fashioned and go back to the newspaper, the impartial newspaper. The New York Times, the Wall Street Journal both have terrific personal finance columnists and so on. I try to steer people towards very impartial sources.
And you know what I say to folks? Go to marketplacemoney.org.
I should have
Carmen
said that.
Question. That's my job. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Dan Kadlec, a contributor to Time Magazine, and Helene Olin is a contributor to Reuters. Dan and Helene, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime.